and gentlemen, boys and girls, UFC Talk number 14. I'm joined with Eric Anders. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. And yourself?
I'm good. How have you been since we last talked to you? And I talked to you on Off the Dome. How are you doing a couple weeks later?
Man, everything's good, man. Just, you know, training, feeling good, and, you know, day to day.
I saw you training a bunch, preparing for a match, or just training?
Just training. I haven't been offered anything as of yet. I'm still waiting on a doctor's clearance. And then, you know, we'll see what happens from there.
Doctor's clearance, injury in the last fight or something?
Matt, I've had this lingering eye injury for a while. Had surgery on it, so now it's recovering and healing, and, you know, getting back to normal.
I thought it was an eye thing. I wasn't positive. I don't know if they mentioned it in your last fight or something. But how is that, like, how does that work? I know some eye injuries you can still continue or you can go up to a certain point. How do you, like, end up managing that?
Man, really just what the doctor tells me. You know, it wasn't, like, too severe. You know, I had some scar tissue on my retina. And it was kind of distorting my vision a little bit. So they went in there, scraped it all off. And, you know, my vision probably never be 100%. But, you know, the closer we can get it there, the better.
So how did you feel about your last fight with Jocko? It didn't go your way. What were your takeaways from that fight?
Man, to be honest, you know, I was a little disappointed in the way that I fought. In my performance, really didn't do much. Just kind of hung out on the cage a little bit. Not my typical style of fighting, but, you know, each fight has a life and history of its own. So, you know, I kind of just, you know, forget about that one and it's on to the next.
I'm sorry about that loss, man. A lot of people were hyped up for it. I didn't know that was ended up getting put on there. Good fight. I thought it was a little bit of a war itself. So middleweight, light heavyweight, you've been going between, or is middleweight your division though, or is it just because of the quarantine?
You know, I get in where I fit in, man. Wherever they call me to fight, I fight. Mm-hmm. You know, I like middleweights. I like the middleweight division, but you know, I think the more interesting and more what's the word, like, you know, fights the fans want to see is, you know, yeah, two guys moving towards each other instead of away from each other. And I think the light heavyweights are do that a little bit more, move forward instead of backwards. The middleweights, you know, some of them think that they're, you know, welterweights and, you know, and get on that bike a little bit. So I do like middleweight, but I think the better matchups for me are at light heavyweight.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about the Jocko fight. I believe that was at middleweight. Or was that 205?
It was a middleweight fight.
Okay. Yeah, because, you know, I mean, fighting itself is hard, but I kind of felt like if it were to go to a decision, he might have got it because he seems to be more of a point fighter, I will say. He's got a lot of decisions himself. Were you worried that maybe he was going to end up, you know, I mean, he's got a lot of decisions. Were you worried that the longer the fight went, that he was probably going to ride the bike?
No, to be honest, I think the longer the fights go on, the more it favors me. Because I'm always in really good shape. And, I can fight for, you know, 25 minutes every rep. So, I think the longer the fight goes on, it favors me. You know, I can kind of see. I just made a lot of bad decisions in that fight. You know, in the middle of the first round, I could see the look on his face, like he was kind of breathing hard a little bit. So I think maybe if I keep that fight on the feet at space, you know, with him against the cage and kind of just pepper him up, I think I finished that fight. But you know, that's not the way the fight went. So, you know, I could say all the ifs, ands, and buts if I want to, but at the end of the day, you know, I didn't get the job done.
So, speaking of 205 pounds, John Jones vacates his title. That leaves the divisions in shambles. How do you feel about him possibly moving up to heavyweight? Do you think that's the right move for him?
Man, I think when you're a guy of John Jones' status and done all the things that he's done and beat the people he's beat and been the champ that he's been and reigned for as long as he's reigned, then you know, he can really do whatever he wants, you know. I don't know how many title defenses he has at 205, but I'm pretty sure it's probably the most ever. I don't see a whole lot of people being able to beat him. Dominic Reyes, I think, could beat him. I think he did beat him his last fight. That's, you know, that's neither here nor there. I think Yan was the next guy to get the title shot if he was there, and I don't see him beating John Jones. So, man, he's kind of cleaned out the division, you know. What else is there left for him to do? For him, you know, I think he's trying to build his legacy. If he could take the heavyweight belt and knock off a few heavyweights, there's going to be no question, regardless of what he's done, you know, off the mat. Like, you can't knock him for anything he's done in the cage. So I think if he does that, you know, if he beats Francis, if he beats Stipe, he's going to be the greatest fighter of all time.
I agree. So you go 8-0, you got two fights on the UFC, and then you got a main event against Lodo Machida in Brazil. How crazy was that? Two fights in your UFC tenure, you get one of the biggest names in the division, main event. How were you feeling at that moment? That had to be amazing, especially being undefeated.
Yeah, you know, at that time, you know, I felt like I was invincible, and, you know, I was going to go in there and knock his head off. And that's kind of what you want when you get to the UFC, man. Everybody wants to be the main event, you know. Everybody wants to fight a guy, a legend like Lyoto Machida, put them on their pedestal. You know, this is one of the guys that I beat, you know, not a pedestal, but their mantle or whatever. Once again, another fight that didn't go my way. That fight, I really felt like I won. And I think Machida felt like I won too. You know, if you look at his demeanor after the fight, you know, his head's down, he's walking around all sad.
Yeah.
And my hands are in the air. You know, I think we both felt that I had won, and a lot of people felt that I had won, except, you know, two of the three judges, I think.
So your next main event goes a whole different way, Thiago Santos. How was that like? It was in the same place, yeah. The fight took place in Brazil, but what was the difference for you that, you know, you're going from Machida to Santos? I would say, you know, technically that's a decrease in name value, but still it's Santos. But it's your second main event this time. How are you feeling around the training? Good, everything going into there?
Yeah, you know, I felt great, you know. I had just fought, like, you know, 29 days before, you know, less than a month before. You know, I was fighting up a weight class. That fight was at 205. It was on 6 days' notice. And I've had 10 UFC fights, and it's probably my favorite fight simply because those are my kind of fights, you know, stand toe-to-toe. Let's throw these hands and, you know, let's see who winds up, you know, on top, so... and that fight had everything, you know. It had striking, it had wrestling, you know, he had his moments, I had my moments. So it was back and forth, you know, it wasn't just like a one-sided, you know, beatdown or whatever. So, to me, it's my favorite fight, you know. Sometimes you got to roll the dice on yourself. And that's what I did, taking the fight on 6 days' notice against Santos. And, you know, I'd do it again.
You got 50K for your effort. Thank you. On 6 days' notice, that's ridiculous, man. Main event. How do you just take that on, like, especially a main event, you know, because three rounds, of course, you probably, maybe, but, like, five rounds. What happened to make them end up calling you on 6 days' notice?
I think they just, stylistically, they like that matchup, mm-hmm. You know. He's wild and throws hard. I'm wild and throw hard, and. You know, I think that they knew that, you know, the Brazilian fans, they like the Warriors, you know.
Yeah.
They like the guys to get in there and, you know, either go out with their shield or on it. And, you know, that's kind of how I fight. So, you know, I guess for the UFC, it was a no-brainer. And for me taking the fight, whenever they called me to do it, my only question is, you know, what's the money look like? You know,
yeah.
I'm down, you know, I train all the time, you know, I you know, so I'm always in decent shape. And, you know, I'll get in there and fight everybody. But for me to fly, you know, a long way away, you know, and fight a guy, you know, 5 days later, then, you know, break me off something proper. And
I'm yeah. And, they got to make that money right, man.
Yeah. So, you know, they happily obliged. And, you know, got a new contract, got some more bread. And, you know, let's go.
That's what I like to hear, man. It's all about that. Especially since the UFC isn't paying some people, but we'll be nice to them today. So, okay, then we lost another split decision to Elias. I can't say that last name. Oh, you got it. Yeah, Khalil Roundtree. Then you come back, you beat Venice. You beat Jared Mershark, and you lose to Jocko. How is it been? How do I want to put this? What was the biggest thing that you learned about the fighting in the UFC from the regional circuit? Like, what was the biggest difference, if there was really any? Just more people.
I would pair from my college football to high, but I think an even bigger jump because, you know, maybe from my high school. Man, a lot of those guys have been fighting for a long time. A lot of guys have been fighting for, you know, a number of years. And, you know, I had really just started. And so, man, these guys, outside of Roundtree, because he just flat out, you know, just, you know, whipped my ass, you know. You know, there's really nothing I can say about that. There was no experience thing or anything other than him throwing leg kicks and left hands and, you know, putting me down a few times. So. Outside of that, you know, a lot of the guys that I lost to have played the point game, and I didn't realize that the point game was a thing. You know, I thought that, man, the strikes should do some damage, and, you know, just because you kick somebody with your big toe, I didn't realize that they were scoring points. That's how Machida was scoring points. Theodora was kind of doing the same thing. Like I said, Roundtree was totally a different animal in and of itself. So I realized that, you know, there's more than just walking forward and throwing punches and combinations and trying to wrestle and stuff. You know, a lot of the guys that get on their bike, they backpedal. I also realize how judges scored fights and, you know, how they awarded points and what they counted as significant strikes. So man, I was just very ignorant to the game every fight's a learning experience, whether you've been in there, you know, whether you've had two fights in the UFC or you've had 20. You know, every fight's a learning experience for you.
Okay. How do you feel about the judges scoring? And just, I feel like, I don't know what they're doing. I don't know if they're just not watching the match. They don't just give a fuck. But sometimes when the scorecards come back, I don't like what I see. How do you feel about the judging and how it still seems to be a problem in MMA?
Yeah, you know, that's a real thing. I think that, you know, a few of my fights that I've actually won, and not just me, because, of course, you're going to be biased towards yourself, but, you know, there's a few fights that a lot of media outlets think that I won. So I don't think that the judges quite know what they're looking at and looking for. That's why I think the, like, retired fighters should be judges. You know, like, we're in Missouri, so these are the rules. These are the judges. You know, this is the boxing commission. And then you go to Florida, and this is an MMA commission. You know, so, you know, I think, you know, everybody, each state should have their own MMA commission, not just combat sports commission. There should be, like, seminars or, you know, continuing education courses for the judges and those who and referees as well. You know, how fights are being scored and this, that, and the third. And, you know, all that should be put out to the public. Like, you know, how does Tony Weeks judge a fight? What does he see in a fight versus, you know, Joe Solis or Solis or whatever, you know, just another judge. So,
yeah.
You know, it's too random, you know, one judge, like, if a fighter, you know, is holding somebody against the cage, they award the round to the fighter, but then another judge may be like, oh, but he wasn't doing anything, so the other fighter gets the round. How do they do that, you know?
Yeah.
Or how can one judge score a fight 30-27 and the other judges are 29-28? You know, it's too random. And then they say don't leave the fight in the judges, but, man, there's not a fighter out there that doesn't try to put somebody away. Of course they're trying to, you know, finish the fight. You know, why would you want to fight for 15 or 25 minutes when you could fight for two or three and get a dub, get both checks, get out of there unharmed, unscathed, and keep it moving, you know? So I think it's silly when people say don't leave the fight in the hands of the judges. Well, no shit. But fights go to decisions sometimes, you know. So
I don't know.
I think they should have other, you know, top judges.
Is your connection coming back good on your end?
You cut out every now and again, but I can make out what you're saying.
Okay, I just want to make sure we're at least good on your side. Okay, so, yeah, I like what you said, actually, about the 30-27 to 29-28. Because to me, I think that's still a big deal. I mean, not everyone's going to see it the same, but I just mean, like, round-wise, as if, like, I think if that guy didn't win that round, he shouldn't get that round. But I don't know. I don't know if you should add more judges, take away more judges. But one thing I really did want to push on is you said fights that you think you want, that you should have won, especially big media. How do you feel about the Pedro Munhoz, Frankie Edgar fight? I thought 2-2, whoever wins fifth wins. Me, Munhoz winning, a couple at Frankie. Who did you personally think had won the fight? And I think I had a great 3-2 Munhoz, Pedro. I'm going to just say that.
Man, I think that if you just look at the fight, if you don't count, like, total strikes and stuff like that, Frankie Edgar looks like he wins every fight because he's always moving. He's chipping away. He throws pot shots.
Yeah.
And, you know, he comes in and makes the guy defend. Whether he's hitting you or not, you're defending. So I thought that Frankie won the fight just because he was doing more. Like, Pedro Munhoz would get to him and then start swinging, like, hook line punches, like wild punches and whatnot. And Frankie just kind of hung out in the pocket, took a step back, and then when he went, you know, he went with straight punches and more than two or three at a time. You know, Pedro Munhoz was like left, right, you know, hook punches, left hook, right hook, and then that was it, you know. But Frankie Edgar, you know, his feet were always moving, his head was always moving, his hands were always moving. So I could see how a judge, even I thought that Frankie won the fight, you know. I didn't look at the total strikes or whatever, so I don't know who actually landed more.
Yeah.
But it just looked to me like Frankie was a busier fighter.
Yeah, I feel like the whole fight thing, too, that's another thing that I feel like we should really look into. Like, who wins the whole, like, over the whole time? That would be interesting to me. But, yeah, I thought Frankie just landed a lot more combinations. I guess somewhere online, Pedro outlanded him. I think it was almost every round by a couple. But I still thought Frankie won. He looked amazing at bantamweight. It was crazy.
Yeah, I didn't realize that Pedro Munhoz outlanded Frankie Edgar.
I didn't either. I thought, if anything, Frankie outlanded him.
Yeah, but, you know, that's what I'm saying. You know, he looked busy. You know,
yeah.
He started and ended all the exchanges that they got into. And, man, the more I fight, the more I watch fights, I realize that that's kind of what you have to do.